Amen. I think it's time we hear the traditional Christmas story. You can never hear it too often. And just like Mark and I have said on more than one occasion, we never tire of singing these Christmas carols, do we? We never do. And one of our Christmas carols, and maybe more, have come from the passage we're about to read. So let me read it without any further introduction. Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, familiar words. But let's listen as though this were the first time that we'd heard this. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That's a good place to stop and just get an amen. Wow, what news. Verse 12. "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." I want to speak to you just for a few minutes, and we'll keep this brief, I assure you. I want to speak to you for just a few minutes about some of the carols that we sing. One of the best-known carols, and we just about know them by heart, don't we? Not only the tune, but many of the words. "O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord." That's a great song. And there are others that we sing. We've sung some tonight. We've been singing during the season. We'll sing some tomorrow. And maybe you might want to prolong that a little bit. I think you want to. And I, for one, would be happy to sing them just any time of the year, as you pointed out, Mark. Let me just share with you what the Bible says about singing and how it ministers to us, one to the other. And not only do we worship God, but there's something about singing. Ephesians 5, and Roger, you touched on this Wednesday night when you were talking to us about not drinking alcohol. And there's more to that verse. It does say that, but let me read from that point on. It says in Ephesians 5 and verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That is, don't be controlled by alcohol, but be controlled by the Spirit of God. And the very next verse gives us the marks of a Spirit-controlled person. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So a mark of a man, a woman, a young person under the control of the Spirit of God is speaking and singing hymns and spiritual songs. It's a good thing. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So connected to the Word of Christ in us richly, as it says, that is having the teachings of the Word of God in our lives richly, one of the byproducts of that is we'll just overflow in song. That is, we'll want to praise God. We will enjoy singing. And especially songs like these Christmas carols that are so full of the Bible. These Christmas carols are so rich in Christian doctrine, Christian theology. And a lot of times what we do when we sing these songs, I'm afraid, much like what we do in life, let's be honest, is we just kind of skim over. We sing it. We say, boy, yeah, again, we'll sing Away in a Manger, or we'll sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, or Joy to the World. And I'm afraid sometimes we don't ponder the words. You think that's ever true? Probably is, isn't it? We really don't stop and consider what is it that these carols are telling us, reminding us. So what I want to do here for just a couple minutes is take a couple of our songs and let's just slow down. And we're not going to look at all the verses, but I want to just consider a thought in one of these songs, in a couple of these songs. Well, Hark the Herald Angels Sing is about one of the richest I think we could find. And relax, I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to read it. And I want us to focus, the melodies are beautiful, but I want us to focus on the words. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Now, I want to take just one little phrase or one little line out of that. And let's just think for just a second about that. God and sinners reconciled. Do we understand what that means? God and sinners reconciled. To be reconciled means that we're made right with God. We have harmony with God. We have peace with God. We're right with Him. And what's the problem? The problem is sin, isn't it? We're separated from God. The Bible says we're at enmity with God. We're really hostile to God. And it's not God's fault. Of course, it's man's fault. It's our fault. But Jesus came to restore that broken relationship, and the Bible calls it being reconciled or reconciliation. Some of those big words we say, my goodness, why is that in the Bible? Why does God want to confuse people? He's not confusing us. He is enlightening us. He's enriching us. Because the word salvation just can't cover all the territory. And so there's other words. And one of them is to be reconciled. And then another part of that great song goes like this. Hark the herald angels sing, that is. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold Him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Think about that phrase, veiled in flesh. the Godhead see. Can I tell you what it says over here in John chapter 1? I'm glad you want to know because I'm going to read it to you. Here it is. John 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that came after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. That means grace on top of grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. That is, Jesus revealed to us the invisible God. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Those are words we don't normally use, but what that means is when Jesus came, He was God in human flesh. And at that moment, the invisible God became visible. The eternal God entered time. The unlimited, all-powerful God became a babe. My goodness. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Then there's another line. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all He brings. Risen with healing in His wings. Mild He lays His glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Let's think about that little line. Mild He lays His glory by, born that man no more may die. What's that all about? He was born so that we could be born again. He came to an earthly life so that we might have an eternal life. Born that man no more may die. I don't know that the songwriter had this in mind, but he could have. It certainly reminds us over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 21-22, short verses, but listen to them. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now, who's it talking about? By man came death. That's Adam, right? Death entered because of Adam's sin. By man came death. Even so, by man, that's Christ, came the resurrection of the dead. And then it goes on to say in the next verse, For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. He was born so that we might not have to die and be separated from God forever. You say, what's the resurrection have to do with the birth of Christ? It has everything to do with it. Or, we could say it the other way around, the birth of Christ has everything to do with the resurrection. Because had He not been born, He could not have died, and had He not died, He would not have been raised again. And He did all of that. He conquered death so that we could conquer death. He was born so that we would not have to die and perish forever. So we need to connect the nativity with those loved ones that we have buried. Some of you have buried loved ones this past year. Our heart goes out to you. There's some, even now in our church family, on the verge of seeing their loved ones pass over. And yes, like we've done before, church family and I, many of us will go to the graveside. And there we are in the midst of those monuments of the dead, and we'll be at that graveside, and it can be a gloomy time. And it would be a devastating time if we did not know that there is victory in Jesus Christ. There's victory because He came. There's victory because He lived. There's victory because He died, and there's victory because He rose. Born that man no more may die. I get excited about this, Mark. I listen to what you're saying. These are good. I just want us to pause and think about these words. One more, and it won't take long, and that's joy to the world. What a song that is. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Simple words. You wouldn't think that you'd have to say that in a song. Let earth receive her king. Wouldn't earth automatically receive her king? Far from it. Look around you. The Bible says it like this. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Think of this. The Son of God came to earth, and most people have rejected him. So the Bible reminds us, and that song reminds us, let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your life? I hope so. I pray there is. And then another verse in that great song, Joy to the World. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. What a line that is. Think of that. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. Would you agree with me that we live in a cursed world? Turn on the news today. You've seen all this happening. Berlin. We're wondering. In fact, we're under a threat, they say. We don't know, you know, how immediate it is or how great it is, but that came out. The FBI's warning that churches and religious activities and various things concerning Christmas might be under attack. We don't know. But if I'm going to go, I wouldn't mind going while we're worshiping. Would you? Amen. But we live in a cursed world. And it's good to know that He came to outdo that curse or to strip that curse or to break that curse. Here's the way it's put in Romans chapter 5. Again, we get back to Adam and Christ. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Notice that. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Sin is worldwide. The curse is worldwide. But it goes on to say that grace abounds over. Grace is greater than all of man's sin. And then it says in the very next verse that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So the curse is bad, but God's grace is greater than the curse. And God's grace is extended through Christ. And then that same song, Joy to the World, this is the last verse I want to mention, but it says in that verse of that song, He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love. How does Jesus Christ rule this world? He is the King. One day He's going to rule with a rod of iron, the Bible tells us. He's coming back, and He's not coming back in weakness or in meekness. He's coming back in strength and sovereignty. But how does He rule now? With truth and grace. With truth and grace. John 1, he says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And those two things describe Jesus and His ministry. Truth and yet grace. And isn't that how He speaks to our heart? And isn't that how He changes our heart? And isn't that how He makes us the person He wants us to be? It's not with force, though He has the power to force us to do what He wants us to do. He doesn't do that. He speaks to us in truth, and He works on our hearts with grace. And that's how He rules. And isn't it sad that some people reject the truth and reject the grace? But I'm thankful that I didn't. And I know you are too if you're a Christian. Amen? He rules the world with truth and grace. And so, come let us adore Him. Come let us adore Him. There's every reason to adore our Lord and Savior, isn't there? We adore Him because He was born of the Virgin Mary and laid in the manger. But He didn't stay there. We adore Him because He lived a perfect and sinless life. We adore Him because He was willing, as we have been reminded tonight, to go to that cross with a broken body and to pour out His life's blood. We adore Him because He rose again from the grave. Could not be holding back. He came out. We adore Him because He ascended back to the Father's right hand. And we adore Him because He's coming again. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we do adore You. And we adore Your Son. And we adore the Holy Spirit. We worship tonight. Father, our prayer is that our hearts would be in line with what we've just said from Your Word and in these songs. Lord, it would be a shame if we would hear these verses and sing these songs, and yet we would not have lives in agreement with what we've sung or what we've heard. Lord, we pray tonight that You would use the truth of these songs, the wonderful carols, and also the truth of Your precious Word, the Scripture. And Lord, that You would do a work in our hearts so that we would be pleasing unto You. We'd have hearts that are truly sorry for our sin, hearts that are truly trusting in Jesus Christ, hearts that are fully surrendered, fully submitted, obedient. Lord, we could do no less. What a gift You've given us. What a salvation You have freely offered to us and provided for us. So help us, Lord, to be humble and to be obedient and to be trusting. Lord, if there's anyone in this building tonight that has not trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray tonight would be the night. It would be the best Christmas ever. And for those of us, Lord, who are already saved and we've already received the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ, may this be a time we would renew our commitment and realize just how great a gift we have received. And Lord, let us give our life back in return, would be our prayer tonight. We pray that every heart will be blessed, every life will be drawn closer to You, our dear Lord. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.